Welcome to this message from the Jeanette campus of Charter Oak Church. God has instructed us to multiply his image to the ends of the earth. So this week, Pastor Chris Livermore is bringing a message called Multiplication.
I have a friend. His name is Mark Price. And Mark is a bush pilot in Alaska. And the first time that I went to Alaska to visit Mark, I flew over a place called Chitna Bay. And in getting to this this place called Chitna Bay, I was just absolutely awestruck by the scenery. We were in an airplane. It's called a Super Cub. It's one of these little high-performance airplanes. And we were flying along cliffs and, you know, looking out one side and seeing the cliff and the ocean down below and the eagles flying beside us. And it was just incredible. And there were glaciers there. And we landed on a beach. You know, we were out there looking at bears. And so we landed on a beach. And where we landed, there was this little small cabin. And it seemed like it was stuck in the middle of nowhere. It was old and it was weathered. And when we went inside the cabin, it wasn't locked. There were a bunch of canned goods that were barricaded in a cupboard. There was some firewood stacked outside, and there was an old stove. And inside the old stove was a campfire was already. It had been built. There was some paper and some tinder, and there were matches and things that were there. And on the other side of the cabin, just a little small thing, there were a couple of sleeping bags, and there were some clothes and some tools and some other things. And the thought came to my head as I looked at that, you know, why would anybody leave all this stuff here? I learned later as we went across Alaska and different areas there in the wilderness that there were small cabins in a variety of places that people had put there for a variety of reasons. Some of them had lived there for a while. Others, they had built a cabin as kind of outposts as they were trapping and hunting. And they just, they would leave things deliberately in those cabins. And so it was not by accident that there was food and clothing and fuel, and oftentimes they would leave tools, and the cabins often were left unlocked so that someone, if they were out in the wilderness and if they had some problem and what happened on the place, they would have food, they would have clothing, they would have a way to stay warm. Jesus taught us that for those who love him, he has prepared a wonderful place called heaven. Amen? Heaven is a place, let me remind us, where there is no more pain, there's no more sorrow, there's no more crying, there's no more cancer, there's no more death, there's no more war, there's no more Fox, there's no more CNN, there's no more, you know, nagging mother-in-laws or brother-in-laws, there's no more arguments, there's no more conflicts with your neighbors, there's no more betrayal by friends, there's no more cars breaking down, there's no more layoffs at work, there's no more work and less pay. All of that stuff is gone. Now, with that to look forward to, with a heaven that God has prepared for us, and knowing that God loved us enough to send Jesus, why did Jesus leave us here? Why doesn't God, the moment that we are saved, the moment that we come to faith, why doesn't God just take us out of this struggle? You know, for those of you who are Star Trek fans, you know, beam me up, Scotty. You know, why doesn't God, the moment we understand who Jesus is, why doesn't he just get us out of here so we don't have to go through all the stuff that you and I have to go through on a daily basis? That's our question for today. Why did God leave us here? You see, every one of us, we need people to live with. We can't live alone. We need power to live on. We need principles to live by. We need a profession to live out and a purpose to live for. Every one of us in this room have a life mission. God has made you absolutely unique. There is no one else like you on the face of this earth. Never has been. There never will be. And your life mission is unique. God has some things that he has planned for you to do that nobody else can do. And so every one of us here have our own assignments. We have our own life missions. And one part of our life mission that we have in common is that we are here. Our life purposes and our life missions have intersected here at Charter Oak Church, Jeanette Campus. And although much of our life missions and our life purpose is unique, there is one thing that we share. God has left us here, and God has brought us here to tell other people about what has happened to us. God has left us here to tell us the difference that Jesus has made in our lives. And God has called upon you and called upon me to share our testimony, to share our lifestyle, to share our witness, to share the good news. That's why we have a heart for the city in the heart of the city. That's why God has placed us here in the very center of Jeanette so that we can share with people the difference that Jesus has made in our lives. The Bible says in Acts 20, "The most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to tell people the good news about God's grace." You see, once I know Jesus Christ, part of my life mission, it's not all of it, but it's a major part of it, is to invite people into God's family. So our mission is this. If you're filling out the blanks in your worship folder, our mission is to reach and equip. Why did Jesus leave us here? To reach and equip. Charter Oak Church's mission is to reach out to those who are searching and equip believers to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. That's our mission. That's why we are here. In John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And so what did God send us to do? Acts 1:8, it tells us, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and in every part of the world." You see, the church was founded on that verse. Every campus is founded on that verse. That's why God has left us here, that we would complete the mission that Jesus began. Now, what does that say? First, it says, "You will be my witnesses." It does not say that you will be my theological experts. What does a witness do? A witness says what? I saw this. I heard that. This is what happened. You see, that's what God calls us to do. Just to say, witnessing is just simply sharing what God is doing in my life. That's what witnessing is. You see, being a witness doesn't mean that we have all the answers, because none of us do. But all of us, have part of it. God has shown and has poured his grace into your life and in my life, and witnessing is sharing what I've learned in my faith walk. It's just talking about the latest step and what God has shown me as we humbly share with people the difference that Jesus has made in our lives. So where are we supposed to do it? The Bible says we're supposed to do it in four places: Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in every parts of the world. Now, what does that mean? When Jesus said that, he was talking to people who were in Jerusalem. And I believe what he was saying is we begin sharing our faith where we are. Jerusalem for them was where they were. And I think what Jesus is teaching us is that we start with the people closest to us. We start with our own spheres of influence. We start with our family, with our friends, with our coworkers, the people with whom we rub elbows. And then it says we go to Judea, and Judea is sort of like the county. It's the people outside the walls, outside the faith. Westmoreland County. You know, according to Mission Insight, you've heard me share this with you before, that within a 5-mile radius of our campus, there are 84,000 people. That means, and there are about 18,000 people with a Jeanette zip code. And so if you look at that, what people tell us is that they claim that 60% of people have no church relationship. Now, I think that statistic is pretty low. I think it's at least 75%. But let's just go with the 60% figure. So what that means is that within a 5-mile radius of this campus, okay, 0.6 times 84, you know, carry. I'm not very good at that. I had to do it ahead of time. That means there's 50,000 people within 5 miles of us who do not have a church home. 50,000. Folks, that should break our hearts. That should break our hearts and that should drive us to our knees to realize that there are those many people who don't know Jesus. That's where we start. That's where we start. That should compel us to invite everyone we know to be part of our campus. That should compel us to share with everyone the difference that Jesus is making in our lives. Because you see, we need Jesus to face what we have to face, and they need Jesus to face the things that they have to face. None of us have it all together all the time, and all of us are dealing with something. And we have found that the answer to being able to deal with so much of what's in our life is found in Jesus, and we need to be telling people about that. Then it says to go to Samaria. Now Samaria, the Samaritans were people who were culturally and ethnically different from the disciples. The point here is that the third place that we are to share the gospel and share our testimony is with people who are different than we are. And we don't have to go very far to go to Samaria. I was in Sheets late at night recently. Have you been in Sheets late at night? Folks, that's Samaria. Have you noticed the crowd at King's at 11 p.m. at night is vastly different from the retired guys meeting at 8 a.m.? That's Samaria. People all around us who are from a different culture who look at the world differently than we do. One of the things that we are beginning this summer that I am so excited about is our feeding program with Hawks Hope. As we are striving to feed body and soul this summer with people around us to share with them the reality of who Jesus is and care for them spiritually and care for them physically. In Jesus' day, the good church folks wouldn't go to Samaria. That's why Jesus caused such a scandal. Some of you are familiar with this story where Jesus stopped by this well and he talked to this woman from Samaria, this Samaritan woman. You see, they didn't talk to Samaritans. It was offensive. Years ago, I served a church. In the church that I served, we started a ministry to the skaters who were in our town. You know, skaters, you know, skateboards. They were absolutely everywhere. And to be honest with you, there were some people in that church that just wished they would go away. Folks, Samaria is here. It's not going away. And God has called us to share the gospel with them as well. Then it says to go to all the ends of the earth. And at the time that Jesus said that, it was extremely difficult. They didn't have the transportation. They didn't have the reality of what we have, that right now, if it's working, we are on Facebook Live, which means anybody in the world can hear the gospel by clicking on Charter Oak Church Jeanette Campus, and they can hear the gospel. We have people from our congregations, from all of our campuses, who are traveling to a variety of different places on mission trips over the next few months. West Virginia to Jamaica. And you can sign up to go on some of those if you want. We have some folks going to Indonesia next fall. I can remember my first mission trip overseas and sharing the gospel in other places. My life was transformed. And we have people in this room who have been to other countries whose lives have been changed by sharing the gospel in another country. That's what God calls us to do. So our mission is to reach out to those who are searching and equip believers to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. God wants us to multiply. He wants us to grow spiritually and numerically. So what are we supposed to share? You said, Pastor Chris, you said I'm supposed to witness, I'm supposed to share what's happening. What do I share? Here's your message in two words. Good news. Good news. Mark 16:15 says, proclaim the good news to everyone. And where does it say? Everywhere. Share the good news to everyone. And what's the last word? Everywhere. In other words, our message is good news. Now, do you like to get good news? Everybody does. You know, I was in the middle of pulling together some final preparations for this morning. And I got a text from my wife with good news that she had just found out, and she sent it to me, and it was just awesome. We like to get good news, and you say, you know, it's fun to share good news, and you say, you know, the people that I work with, my friends, they don't want to hear anything about the good news of God. Let me share, I would definitely say they are not interested in rules and regulations and religion. But the good news of God, I bet they're interested in that. You see, I can guarantee you the people around you are not interested in religion. But I bet they're interested in good news. See, the problem is often us. Because I think sometimes we forget just how good the good news is. I think sometimes we become so accustomed to it, we forget the miraculous changes that God has offered and what God has done in our life. We forget how miserable it is to live without hope. We forget what it's like to be consumed by worry and bitterness and guilt and fear. You see, the longer we are followers of Christ, the more we tend to take for granted what Jesus has done for us. Now, if we went down to Route 30, and if we set up a roadblock, and we stopped everybody, and we said, okay, I want you to tell us, how do you get God to like you? And I bet here's what 99% of the people that we have stopped on Route 30, I bet here's what they'd say, something like this. Well, you have to work real hard to get God's approval, and you have to be really, really good. And you have to keep a lot of rules, and you probably have to follow a lot of regulations. You have to do some rituals, and you have to be a religious person. And, I'm not into those things, so I bet God's not very happy with them. And most people think that it is hard to get to know God. But you see, that's not in the Bible at all. The Bible teaches that God wants to have a relationship with us. The Bible teaches that God is pursuing us. The Bible teaches that God loved us so much and that to get to know God, it just involves trusting him. The Bible says in Romans 1:17, the good news shows how God makes people right with himself. That it begins and ends with faith. As the scripture says, those who are right with God will live by trusting him. It's really so simple. No one could not understand. Jesus offers to us himself. Now, when I trust in Jesus with my life, and when you trust in Jesus with your life, God gives us three incredible benefits. And sometimes we become so used to these benefits, we forget how amazing that they are. So let me remind us of the three benefits that God gives us, that the good news, and these are the three things, the good news, that you can share with other people. Now, for some of you, you've heard this, and you've heard it, and you've heard it. That's okay. You can hear it again. But for some of you, you've forgotten what these benefits are. And for some of you, perhaps, you've never heard the benefits of a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, the benefits are God takes care of our past, God takes care of our present, and God takes care of our future. And all of these benefits are offered to us if we merely trust in Jesus. So first, and you may want to jot these down on the side. I'm not sure if there are all those outlines, or it's in your outline or not. First, I get forgiveness for my past. I get forgiveness for my past. You see, if I let's imagine that God came to us, or somebody came to us and said, okay, Chris, and you insert your name, we're going to make up a video of everything that you've ever said, thought, or done in all of your life, and we're going to broadcast it to all the world. Now, there are some things that I don't want you to know. And you have some things that you don't want anybody else to know. Amen? Amen? Okay. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And you see, we all have stuff. And one of the first incredible benefits that God offers to us is that if that film were ever made, if that video were ever made, Jesus would come. And when we come into a relationship with him, he rips it up and he throws it and burns it. It's gone. Forgiveness means that all that stuff in our lives from our past that we are ashamed of, that we don't want anybody to know about, it's forgiven. It's gone. That's the first benefit of a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, even if there were no such thing as heaven, knowing Jesus would be worth having a clear conscience, wouldn't it? That's the first benefit Jesus offers, forgiveness for our past. Second benefit, he takes care of the present and he gives me a purpose for living right now. You see, your life is not an accident. You're not just a happenstance. God has a plan and a purpose for you to live out, and it's only in a relationship with him that you and I can really be living. I talk to many people, and perhaps you do, they just say something's not right, you know, something is missing, and you begin talking to them, and you realize it's that relationship with God. That's what gives purpose and meaning to all the stuff that we are going through. Jesus said in John 10:10, I came so that you might have life and have it to the fullest. He didn't say, I came that you might have religion. He came to offer us a relationship with him. You see, in truth, we're not really living until we know God. We're not really understanding the joy and the peace and the purpose that Jesus offered. So many people aren't living, they're just existing. You know, they get dressed and they get in the car and they go to work and they come back home and they fix dinner and they put their feet up and they watch some TV and they go to sleep and they get up the next morning and they drive to work. And then they just do it over and over and over again. Folks, that's not all the life that God has for us. Jesus said, I came to give you life to the full. You were made for more than your job. God came to give us purpose in the present. The third thing he offers us, the third benefit, forgiveness for our past, purpose in the present, he offers to us a future in heaven. He offers to us a heavenly home. So many people just say, well, I hope I'm going to heaven. Folks, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you don't have to hope you're going to heaven. You can know you're going to heaven based on the promises of God. Now, some people say, well, you know, I hope and I've done more good things than bad things. You know, God doesn't grade on a curve. He doesn't put all your good stuff on one side and your bad stuff on the other side. And if there's more good stuff than bad stuff, you tip and you slide into heaven. No, the Bible says all of us have messed up. All of us missed the mark. Heaven's a perfect place. And if God let me in when I was imperfect and he let you in when you were imperfect, heaven would no longer be a perfect place. So God says, you know, none of them can make it, but I want to love them so much. So God came and Jesus died for you and for me so that we could get into heaven with him. Romans 6:23 says, God's free gift is eternal life through Jesus. Free gift. God says, you get to know me by trusting me. And if you trust my son, your life, you'll get forgiveness for your past. You'll get purpose for right now and heaven in the future. Now, isn't that good news? People don't want to hear about religion, but they want to hear about the good news of God and what Jesus has offered. You see, Satan has fooled you. Satan has fooled you into thinking that other people don't care. They do. And they are desperately hungry. The world is hungry for good news. The amount of dissatisfaction and disillusionment in life continues to increase. And as the bad news of the world gets worse and worse, the good news of God looks better and better. And for some of us, we have to reimagine. We have to re-know just how good the good news is. So what's our motive? What's our motive? One word, love, because we love people. We share our message. We share the message of the good news because we love people, because we want them to be with us. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ compels us. That is our motivation. That's why we're starting Hawks Hope, because we love kids. We want to help them understand who Jesus is. You see, everybody matters to God, even the people that you don't like. I know that's hard to imagine, but God loves the people that I don't love. God loves the people that you don't love, and he wants all of them to come into relationship with him. You see, you don't change people by protests. You don't change people by legislation. You don't change people by more laws. Oh, you can force people to comply, but you can't change their hearts. Only Jesus can change your hearts. And you and I can be part of that by investing and inviting in them one life at a time, where we invite them to join us in worship. We invite them to be part of our small group. We invite them to be part of our families' lives as we are stumbling in the right direction and trying to follow Jesus. We invite people to be with us. You see, you are the only Christian that some people will ever meet. Think about that for a moment. You may be the only Christian. So who's responsible for them? Am I? No? In 1912, there was a guy named Dominique who came to the United States. He came from Italy. They called him Don. And Don settled in Huntington County. And he grew up and he got married and he raised a family. He had 8 kids, 5 boys, 3 girls. And somewhere along the line, a neighbor of his named Sally invested and invited in Don's family and invited them to church. Well, Don came into a relationship with Jesus and became a pastor. And over a period of years, his sons, Paul and Don and Frank and Ralph and John, they all became pastors as well. And some of us know one. His name is John Kayampa from Community United Methodist Church. And Friday night, I celebrated his retirement with many other people as he celebrated 47 years in ministry. Paul and Don and Frank and Ralph and John and Don impacted thousands and thousands of lives for Jesus Christ. And guess who started it all? Sally, a neighbor that invited them to church. You see, you and I have a responsibility for the people that God brings into our lives, and God holds us responsible for that. We have to witness and share the difference that Jesus is making in our life. You say, well, you know, I'm a little bit afraid of doing that. I understand. The Bible says this: the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong and love them and enjoy being with them. If you will stir up this inner power, you will never be afraid to tell others about our Lord. See, the antidote to fear is love. The truth is, when you and I, when we love people enough, we will share the good news. Maybe the reason we don't share the good news is we don't understand it, or we don't love enough. See, the reality is, folks, those who are closest to me and those who are closest to you, if they die without a relationship with Jesus Christ, we will never see them again. I don't say that to be morbid. That's what the Bible teaches. And so we have a responsibility to share the good news, to tell them about Jesus. Now you say, well, that's up to the preacher to do that. No. I've heard of some stories recently of people who came upon a car that was beside the road in an accident that was caught in flames, and the people who came, they found it, and they saved the occupants of the car because they grabbed them out. If they had waited for the first responders or the EMS people, as wonderful as they are, the people would have died. See, God has brought some people into your life specifically for you to tell them the good news. And realize you're not... you're not offering them leprosy or swampland in Florida or something. You're telling them the good news of who Jesus is. So how do you do that? Show and tell. Two ways. You show it and you share it. Our values at Charter Oak is we reflect and we proclaim. In other words, we visualize a life, we live it before them so they observe it in our lives, and then we speak it. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus. In other words, we live for God first. People don't know how much you know till they know how much that you care. And so you and I need to share that. Now, some people would say, you know, Pastor Chris, I really can't talk about my faith very much, but I will live it out. Now, I know they don't mean to say this, but what they're saying is that their life is so good that people merely by looking at their life will just fall down and say, praise Jesus. No, we need both. We need to live it, we need to walk it, and we need to talk it, we need to reflect it and proclaim. Colossians 4:5 says, to make the most of your chances to tell others about this good news. You say, Pastor Chris, I don't know what to say. My job as your pastor is to help equip you for that. So in your worship folder, there's a card. Go ahead and reach in there. There's 2 cards. There's one that says, establishing a spiritual base for my life. Go ahead, pull that out and hold it up so I can see that you've got it. Okay, you got it there? All right, I want to walk you through this. and you can just sort of keep this in your pocket, or you can keep it on your desk, and at the proper time you can just have it ready that when the conversation goes in the right direction. This is just a simple tool. There's nothing magical in these words, but it's a way to help you express what God has done in your heart. Now, for some people, the next 2 minutes, and we're going to share this card and then we're going to be done, but for some of you, it may be the most important 2 minutes of your entire life. Because perhaps you have never heard the good news of the gospel in this way. So look at the card. I want to invite the band, if they would come up at this time, and get ready, because we're going to be about ready to close. The B stands for believe. It's very simple, B-A-S-E. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me and showed that he was God by coming back to life. In other words, that's what Easter is all about. Easter is a celebration of the reality that Jesus Christ at the grave could not hold him. And so because of that, then I need to accept, that's the A, God's free forgiveness for my sins. Now, who do you know wouldn't want to be forgiven for their sins? By believing in Jesus and then accepting the forgiveness that is offered. Then the S stands for switch. To where I switch from my plan for my life to Jesus' plan for my life. Where we say, you know, I'm no longer going to live the way I want to live, but Jesus, I want to live the way that you want me to live. You're going to call the shots, Jesus, not me. My plan hasn't been working so well. So Jesus, I want to begin following your plan. And then the E stands for express. Expressing my desire for Christ to be the center of my life. And then you can say to them, and I'm saying to you right now, you know, if this expresses the desire of your heart, you may not use these exact words, but if this is where you want to be, where you believe God is calling you to be, then I invite you to join me in this prayer. And I'm going to invite you to pray this aloud with me as we pray and pray it phrase by phrase. It's right on your card there. So repeat with me. Dear God, go ahead. I believe you sent your son Jesus. Go ahead. I believe you. To die for my sins so I can be forgiven. I'm sorry for my sins. And I want to live the rest of my life the way you want me to. Please put your spirit in my life to direct me. Amen. Now, if you meant that in your heart of hearts, today you have passed from death to life. You see, that's the good news that God wants me and God wants you to share with Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. That Jesus loves us, accepts us, and wants to fill us with new life.
Thank you for spending this time in worship with all of us here at the three campuses of Charter Oak Church in Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania. Please join us next week for another special sermon called I Love My Church, featuring Pastor Chris Whitehead. In the meantime, if you'd like to learn more about the church or any of the activities at all three campuses, please check out our website at www.charteroak.church.